So what I'm going to speak on tonight. Wow, that's louder. if you could turn with me to the Bible, if you could turn with me to 1 Timothy 6:11, and for the sake of time, I'll read it, but you know, highlight it, write your notes in there. It says, "But you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness." Heavenly Father God, I just pray and I love you, Lord, and I thank you for this honor and this privilege. I just pray that you would anoint me, anoint my tongue, Lord God. Open up my heart, open up their hearts, Lord, to receive from you. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. And so when I read this, I think about the story about this king. And this king, his name was Nebuchadnezzar. And many of you know the story about Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. But what I want to identify is, when I see this, I see three good friends, three good men of God that didn't let the odds intimidate them. So what I want to talk about is the three things that they had. First, they had heart. They trusted each other, and they feared, trusted, and loved God. So I don't know if you know the story, but I'm just going to go through a really quick recap. So there was this king, Nebuchadnezzar, and he built this tall statue. It was made of gold. And he said, okay, when this music starts playing, you guys have to worship it and, you know, bow down. So there's these three friends, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. And so what happened was that they said, no, well, we're not going to bow down to that idol. Like, we don't believe in that. And so he's like, well, you're going to be thrown in the fiery furnace. And he's like, you know what? You could threaten us as much as you can, but my standings are with God alone. And so what I want to ask you is, what are some of your idols here? You know, the devil doesn't come to you with a tail, with a pitchfork, looking all red, you know? Oh, come on, somebody. Am I here? Is this mic on? The devil comes to you with that pretty girl, that girl in high heels. He comes to you with that guy, you know, all fit, muscular, you know? Come on, somebody. He comes to you with that raise that's going to cause you to work on Sundays. Come on, somebody. But they didn't let, what I want to talk to you guys about is that these three young men, they didn't let the odds intimidate them. Of course, we're not going to worship a big gold statue. But what does the devil throw at you? He knows what you like. Come on, somebody. So I want to just clarify on the three things. Hype is not heart. When you have all the hype, when you're here dancing at the altar, when you're singing loud as you can, when you're praying the loud as you can, you know what? That's not heart. That's hype. Some of you guys get the confusion with hype and heart. Heart is when you go through trials, when you go through hardship, and you still stand. Hype is, you know, when you get the first blow to the face, you fall to the ground. Secondly, I want to talk about they trusted each other. How many of you know it's kind of hard to trust each other in the church? You know, different things come up, different attitudes arise, you know. But when you're able to trust each other, you're really able to understand that working together, that you know, that love for each other, that love that God had for us, you know. Thirdly and lastly, I want to talk about they loved and they trusted God and they feared him. They didn't fear of the fiery furnace. They thought of, you know what, man, it's going to be worse than a fiery furnace if I disobey and I honor this God. If I honor a God made of gold, you know what, instead of a fiery furnace, I'm being burning in hell. They trusted God to the point where they said, you know what, you could throw me in the fiery furnace and God will rescue me. But even if he doesn't, I will not bow to that statue. Lastly, they love God. When you love God and when you love something, you make it a discipline. You make it a strong discipline to not let anything come between you and that thing, come between you and God. You know I have a little bit of time, and I know they're going to come for me right now, but closing, I'm going to close with this. You know, I was teaching at my Youth for Christ class last week on Wednesday, and I was giving my testimony with Jeremiah 29, 11, 12, and 13. And so as I was doing that, I began to really get in depth in Jeremiah 29 and 12. And Jeremiah 29 and 12, it says, when you come and you call to me. And it makes it so clear. God just made it so clear to me when he said, when you. See, God has a plan for our lives. God has a plan for our churches. He has a plan for our leaders. He has a plan for our lives. But when you get serious, in verse 13 in the Message Bible, it says, when you get serious about serving me, when you really want it, when you really want, when you put all things aside, then you won't be disappointed because I'm going to give you that full plan, that full promise, that full anointing that I have for you. And you know, sometimes the fire is rough. Sometimes going to that fiery furnace is, it's, you know, how many of you guys been going through the fire? Amen. And it gets hard. But when you also look in Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, it says that they were tied hand and foot. They're tied. And when they got thrown into the fire, and then Nebuchadnezzar noticed that they were freed. That they were freed. Amen. And that there was an angel-like person in there. So I'm going to let you know, if you're going through the fire, if you're going through struggles, if you're going through hardship, I'm here to let you know that God is on your side, that God is right there with you. And although you may feel like you're bound and you're tied up about the ways of the world, you know, I'm going to let you know God is going to set you free. He's going to give you the victory. And you know, it doesn't matter what comes to you because God is on your side. Amen. Hallelujah. I just want to close out now. Heavenly Father God, I love you, Lord, and I thank you for such an honor that you give to me right here, Lord. Lord, I just pray that, God, from this 5 minutes, Lord, that you just spoke to them, Father God, whether it was a sentence, whether it was just one word, Lord, that, God, that they take one thing home tonight, Lord. And I just give you all praise and honor. You deserve the glory. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Come on, let's give him a big hand, amen, for a powerful 5 minutes of fire from El Paso, Texas. Come on, amen. Praise the Lord. Well, it's good to see all the pastors in the house tonight, amen. Let's give our pastors a big hand, amen. All the pastors from the region representing, we have Pastor Raul, amen, good to see you. Pastor Renee, amen. Praise the Lord, Pastor Charlie. And of course, we have with us our regional pastors, amen, Pastor Danny and Sister Barbara, amen. As a matter of fact, let's call them up, and maybe they could share a word with God's anointed now generation here tonight. Praise the Lord. Come on, let's give them a big hand.
All right, praise the Lord, amen. Give the Lord a shout of praise. Hopefully your middle name's not Renee. Pastor Renee. Yeah. All right. I want to make sure.
It's good to be here tonight. Is everybody excited? And I just want to say to all of you that it's so good to see young people serving the Lord. This is where the energy needs to be, serving God. Amen? While crazy kids are out there rioting for the stupidest reasons on earth, the gang is in the house serving God. And I just give you props for that because, you know what, we're living in crazy times, but God is good, and he can keep you. I've been kept by God since the age of 16 years old, never to return to the world, so you can be kept as well. And so I just want to encourage you, young girls, tomorrow the Lord has given me a word for you. Just prepare your heart. The Lord's got a good work to do in your life tomorrow. Amen?
Amen, amen. Well, it's good to see everybody here tonight. I want to thank especially the pastors for being here tonight, supporting you. That means that they believe in you guys. Amen. They believe in you, and your leadership believes in you, your leaders, and also your senior pastors do as well. And us as regional pastors, we really believe that the army of God comes from this group of people right here. Amen. We really believe that you're the future. But, you know, I heard it today that said that, and I don't want to quote it right, but, you know, a legacy. When we leave a legacy, we're not just leaving you our achievements, what we've done. Here's what we've done. Do what you're going to do with it when we hand over the baton to you one day. But what we are doing is we're leaving you the equity. And if you don't know what equity means, equity is simply when you buy a house, you buy it for $100,000, and hopefully it'll go up to $150,000 when it's, you know, it'll be more valuable. That's what equity is. And so when we leave our legacy, we want to leave you equity with our legacy. And we don't want to leave it just to you. We want to leave it to your potential. We want to leave it to who you are, to the gifts that you have. And I hope that you'll use them. You have an amazing regional youth pastors. They love you guys. They care about you. You know, they spend a lot of time traveling to you, to many of you. And so I hope and pray that you would not take for granted all that we have as a ministry, because we have a tremendous ministry. So excited to see some of us going to Africa. I know Natalie's, she's going to Africa. Rigo's going to Africa. We're going to Africa. Amen. And so we're excited about going to Africa. We've got Mariah in Panama right now. Amen. Devin just came back. Katrina just came back to UTC. I wonder what stories you're going to have one day when you come back to UTC, if they let you come back. Amen. Praise the Lord. But it's good. Yeah, Missy. Missy's leaving when? When does Missy leave? January. And then where's Cisco? Yeah, Cisco's going too, right? But my goodness, we're going to have a youth left? All right. Praise the Lord. Amen. But it's exciting. The UTC. Amen. And so, ladies, girls, well, I'm very proud of you as your regional pastor. I'm very proud of you for the decision you're making tomorrow. Keep that close to your heart. Stay married to Jesus until God sends you the right guy. Amen. And then also, gang warriors, I know you're going to have a good time tomorrow. Amen. God bless you. We love you. And we're praying for you all the time. Every day we pray for our whole region, pray for all the churches. We pray for you individually. We just really cover you guys in prayer, okay? So we love you. God bless you.
Praise the Lord. Amen. It's such an honor and a privilege, amen, to serve in this ministry with our regional pastors. Amen. We love you guys and appreciate you. And of course, my spiritual parents, amen, for this tremendous privilege to lead God's anointed now generation in this region, in our region. Amen. We might be a small region, but we do big things for the Lord. Amen. We got people all over the world, amen. I said, Rio Grande, we are internationally known, amen. Praise the Lord. Let's go ahead. Before I get started, we are going to show our mannequin video. So let's go check that out. That was pretty good. That's pretty good. Amen. Make sure we post that on the VOABQ ASAP. Amen. So let's go ahead. We're going to jump right into it tonight. You can turn your Bibles to the book of 1 Kings chapter 18. Praise the Lord. Give me a loud amen when you guys get there. Amen. 1 Kings chapter 18. And we're just going to read a couple of verses and then we're going to pray. Verse 25. Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, "Choose one of the bulls and prepare first. Since there are so many of you, call on the name of your God, but do not light the fire." So they took the bull given them and prepared it. Then they called on the name of Baal from morning till noon. "Baal, answer us," they shouted. But there was no response. No one answered. Father, we come you tonight, Lord, and we just love you and we thank you for who you are in our lives, Lord. Father, I pray tonight, God, that you open up your word to us, God, that you'd speak, Father, I pray for the power of your Holy Spirit to be in this place, God. Father, I pray even for every heart, every mind that's here, God, that Father, you'd be able to penetrate, God. Oh, Father, and speak to us, Lord. You'd remove every distraction, God. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, have your way here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible says they called on the name of Baal from morning till noon. Baal, answer us. They shouted, but there was no response. No one answered. Can you imagine the prophets of Baal crying out, Baal, answer us. From morning all the way to noon. Yet there was no response. And no one answered. Can you imagine? Shh. Nothing. You know, the world is desperate for something real. The world is dying, is desperately dying for something real in their lives. Here we see a story in the Bible. It's called the contest on Mount Carmel. And here we see that in 1 Kings chapter 16, it all starts with a guy by the name of Ahab. And Ahab comes on the scene. And what Ahab does is Ahab comes on the scene and he begins to lead all the people of Israel to worship this pagan god named Baal. Even the Bible says there in 1 Kings chapter 16 that Ahab did more evil in the Lord's sight than any other king before him. This man was wicked. And so what he does is he leads everybody. Him, Ahab, and the people of Israel to worship this false god named Baal. Now you see, Baal, he was the god of storms and infidelity. Baal, and the way they used to worship him is they had rituals that they would perform. They had rituals, the rituals of worship to Baal. The first one was self-mutilation. What they would do is they would cut themselves. They would cut themselves because they didn't know how to feel anything real. You hear stories even today. Many young people across our nation and in your city, in my city, in our region, many young people cut themselves because they don't feel anything real. They can't feel love, so they cut themselves. They're desperately dying just for something real. Still nothing. We see that in self-mutilation, we see it's the act of hurting oneself. And you can look at the people that cut themselves, and you can look at the people that do crazy things that hurt their bodies, but you also have to look at all the people that are out there that are on drugs and alcohol. Because how many of you know that drugs and alcohol, what it does is it hurts oneself. When you drink alcohol, the things that take place in your liver. When you do cocaine or crack or meth, what it does is it hurts your body. We have a whole generation. People in your middle school, in your high school, down your street, people living in your house, your aunties, your uncles, your brothers, your sisters. We have a generation that is self-mutilating themselves. They're worshiping a pagan god. A pagan god that they're not able to feel anything real. The second way they worship Baal is called ritual prostitution. What it is they give themselves away. They give their purity away as part of their beliefs as they worship this pagan god. You see it all the time. I don't know if any of you are on that thing called Facebook. No? You see people giving their purity away on Facebook. You see people giving their purity, their innocence away. They're giving it away on social media. They're giving it away every time they open up their iPad or their tablet or their laptop or their desktop or even on their phone. And they're able to look at things that their young minds shouldn't be looking at. They're able to look at things that defile their eyes. They're able to give their purity away. And the reason that this generation is giving their purity away is because they don't feel anything real. Shh. Nothing. No response. No one answer. Ahab led the children of Israel to worship this false pagan god whose worship did things in a matter where they would try to create feelings for themselves. First the self-mutilation, then the giving their purity away, and then find the last thing that the worship of Baal was infant sacrifice. Can you believe that? Can you believe serving a god, serving a pagan god that required you to bring your young, your infant, in sacrifice? How many of you feel like that's one of the most horrible things you've ever heard in your entire lives? You know, every day here in America, heard a statistic that our pastor was sharing, that New Mexico is the number one state for late-term abortion. We have a whole generation being sacrificed, but more so in the spiritual. The next generation represents the future. And we have a generation of young people in junior high and high school, our young adults that are sacrificing their future. That sacrifice their future. Every time they say no to God and yes to the world, they sacrifice the future that God has for them. Now, how many of you know that God has a plan for your life? That God has a tremendous and wonderful plan for you, for me, for your friends, your coworkers, your classmates, for your family. God has an amazing plan for your life. The Bible says that even before you were formed in your mother's womb, that God knew you. Listen, God has a plan for your life. Quit breaking your future and sacrificing it to the pagan gods. This whole generation. What they do is they walk away from the Lord. They walk away and they bring their futures and they lay it at the feet of this world. Many that were called and chosen and handpicked by God. Those that me and you, we know, we grew up in church together. They were around. They were here last retreat. They were here last conference. But they're no longer sitting in the chairs in this church. Why? Because they have sacrificed. They sacrificed their future to the pagan gods. You know, we just got back from the regional, the winter retreat meetings in Los Angeles. And it's kind of funny that every time we go anywhere, they treat my wife like she's part of ISIS or something. I mean, I remember when we first got married, we went to a Lobo game, our football game, and I was going with her family. And so I go first, and I get like the green light, right? I'm like, hey, here's my ticket, I'm in. I look back, and her entire family is posted up against the... They're searching pockets and socks. And even this last trip at LAX, I don't know what they thought she was bringing on the plane. Once again, I got the green light. And then I looked back. I was like, where's my... Oh, security got her. They always give her a hard time. Now, if you have flown recently since, I guess, the past, 5, 10 years, then you know that when you're getting on an airplane, they got this thing. It's like little example book, or they have examples, and they show you all the things that you can no longer bring on an airplane. Right? You can't bring a bottle of water. You can't bring anything with liquid over, 12 ounces. I don't know. I remember one time Michelle called me from the airport. This might be why. Is I had gotten a knife at work, and it was like a 12-inch blade. And she tried to get through security with it. At the airport, this thing was like a step down. There's like machetes, and then it's like a step down. But there's things that you can't take on an airplane with you. And just like you can't take some things on an airplane. See, a lot of you have dreams. You have things that you dream about, your future. You want to do something great. You want to be something great. You want to go somewhere great. But you know, there's some things that you can't take if you want to fly. There's some things you can't take. And these things that we're talking about, with Baal and the worshiping and they're hurting and the drugs and the alcohol is deeper than those things. It's your heart. There's things that we carry with us, anger and bitterness and sin and all these things that if we want to fulfill the dreams that God has given us, if we want to fly, we can't take them with us. Stop us. When you're going through security, you're at the terminal of your destiny, and you're making your way through the line, and you still got all that junk. You got all those things like Brother Danny was talking about, right? You got your Facebook that your parents know about, and then you got your you got the Facebook you lied about how old you were, You got the YouTube where you put in the wrong date, so they... All those things, if you want to fly, those things will stop you from flying. See, God has a destination for you. It's great. It's amazing. It's everything that you would ever dream of. You'll find your purpose. You have joy. You have God's favor. You think you know what you want, but you really don't know what you want. You know what your flesh wants. But see, God's plan's better. God's plan for your life is better than your plan. But in order to fulfill God's plan, in order to get to the destination that God has for you, there's some things you can't fly with. And speaking about the prophet, speaking about Baal and the pagan God and the false God and all these things, what happened was they got so wicked. The people of Israel had completely turned their backs from God. And they got so wicked that God told Elijah to go and declare a drought. Go and declare a drought. It was a 3-year drought because of the wickedness. And you see, that's what happens when we allow wickedness into our lives. Then what? God stops the rain. God will stop the rain. If you allow wickedness into your life, you will stop God's rain. What does rain and water symbolize in the Bible? It symbolizes cleansing, purity, prosperity, and life. All these things, when you decide to turn away from God, and you turn towards wickedness, you turn to worshiping pagan gods, you turn to these things, then what God does is He stops the rain. 1 Kings 18, verse 1. Amen. That was kind of my introduction, so amen. 1 Kings 18, number 1. The Bible says, after a long time, in the 3rd year, the word of the Lord came to Elijah. Go and present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the land. So God tells Elijah, listen, I know these people were wicked. I know that they started to follow pagan gods. I know that they are all messed up. They got going on. They turned their backs for me. But go and tell Ahab. Go present yourself to Ahab and let him know that I am about to make it rain. And see, us as Victory Outreach, God's anointed now generation. Yes, we live in a world that's fallen apart. We live in a world that's addicted. We live in a world that's worshiping false idols. We live in a world that's all messed up. But we have been sent by God to go and let them know. I said to go to our middle schools, to go to our high schools, to go to our workplaces and make it rain. Listen, I know you might feel like in your high school or in your middle school that it's been kind of dry lately. You go and you're feeling the temperature, and maybe your friend's all messed up. You got a suicidal friend. You got a friend that's hooked on weed or crack. You got all messed up people in your life, but God has given you a word. He has called to send you. To send you. To make it rain. 1 Kings 18, verse 17. When he saw Elijah, he said to him, is that you, you troubler of Israel? Have I not made trouble for Israel? Elijah replied, but you and your father's family have. You have abandoned the Lord's commands and have followed the Baals. Now summon the people from all over Israel to meet me on Mount Carmel,
and bring the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Azarah who eat at Jezebel's table. What are you saying? Elijah rose up. And Elijah, God had just told him, go tell Ahab, I'm about to bring the rain. And so Elijah goes and meets Ahab, and Ahab right away tells him, are you the one that's causing all this trouble? It hasn't rained in 3 years. All this and that. And you know, and that's like when people try to come against you because you're Christian. Right? You're like, I'm just trying to help people out over here. I don't know why you're kicking me out of Walmart parking lot. I'm just trying to give somebody a flyer. I mean, they were already smoking crack. Why are you kicking me out? Like, I'm breaking the law. Always, it's strange. But don't count it strange, the Bible says. But it's kind of strange how the world that says that they want to help the down and out, how the world that says they want to bring hope and all this. It's kind of strange how when you try to go give someone some hope, they try to kick you out. Right? All of a sudden, you can't have a Bible club at school, right? Right. All of a sudden, you can't have your Bible study at your dorm or in your house, right? All of a sudden, you tell someone about Jesus and they get offended. You think I'm causing trouble? He said, No. You guys causing trouble. You and your father's house. You blame me for the drought. You're the one that's all wicked. You're the reason there's a drought. You're the reason all this is happening. Verse 20 and 21. So Ahab sent word throughout all Israel and assembled the prophets on Mount Carmel. Elijah went before the people and said, how long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him. But the people said nothing. He said, you know what? You guys are going to have to make a decision. And you know, as young people, we're at a time in our lives where we're going to have to make a decision. There's a decision to be made. Hey, are you saved? Yeah, my parents take me to church. I didn't ask if your parents took you to church. I asked if you were filled with the Holy Ghost. I asked if you could walk in power. I asked if when you lay hands on the sick, do they recover? I didn't ask how many times your parents make you go to New Gen or to Gang Night or to Sunday. I asked you, do you know your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Or did your mom make you get in the van on the way up here? Hey, I ain't hating. You need to have a personal relationship with Jesus. This is your time. This is your season. This is our God's anointed now generation. This is our time to fulfill the call of God upon our lives. We need to get saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, and go out and fulfill the call of God. We got no time to be playing games. You're like, one in, 1 foot out. You're like, I'm saved on Sunday. But on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and before you know it, you're Michael Jackson backsliding. Listen, I know you praise good. Keep on coming to church. But I'm friends with you on Facebook. I'm just saying. I know the real story. I know what's really going on. I don't see a lot of Jesus stuff on your Facebook, unless that dude's name is Jesus. I'm just saying. The first thing you should take to the altar is your social media. You guys, come on! It's time to be. You know what? You know why the world is cutting themselves? Because sometimes when they see you
They don't see something real. Some of you so good. So good, you guys should join drama ministry. The world is desperate for something real. But the people said nothing. See, when the presence of God isn't there, and the enemy, or people are in a crowd, and what happens is the enemy shuts their mouth. The Bible says that he had told them, how long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him. But the people said nothing because they were in bondage. Verse 22. Then Elijah said to them, I am the only one of the Lord's prophets left, but Baal has 450 prophets. So it's one against 450. Really, it was one against 850, if you count all the other prophets that ate at Jezebel's table. So what this shows me is sometimes you're going to have to stand alone. Being a Christian is not always going to be the popular thing. Yeah, here right now at the regional gang service, it's the popular thing. But it's not always going to be the popular thing. And when you're there and you're in your high school or your junior high, you might have to stand alone. Verse 23, I'm going to wrap this up. If I can get the keyboard player up. Verse 23 says, get two bulls for us. Let Baal's prophets choose one for themselves and let them cut it into pieces and put it on the wood, but not set fire to it. I will prepare the other bull and put it on wood, but not set fire to it. Then you call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord, the God who answers by fire. He is God. Then all the people said, what you say is good. Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, choose one of the bulls and prepare it first, since there are so many of you. Call on the name of your God, but do not light the fire. So they took the bull given them and prepared it. Then they called on the name of Baal. From morning till noon, Baal, answer us, they shouted. But there was no response. No one answered. And so they danced around the altar that they had made. Shh. Still nothing. See, the world is desperate for something real. At noon, Elijah began to taunt them. Shout louder, he said. Surely he is a god. Perhaps he is in deep thought, or busy, or traveling. Maybe he is sleeping and must be awakened. So they shouted louder and slashed themselves with swords and spears, as was their custom, until their blood flowed. Midday passed, and they continued their frantic prophesying until the time for the evening sacrifice. But there was no response. No one answered. No one paid attention. See, there was no fire. No fire represents the presence of God. And see, this generation, a generation that's desperate for something real, a generation that's desperate to feel love, a generation that's desperate to belong, a desperate for something better, a desperate to know something great. There is a generation that is desperate for something real. And so Elijah comes. The prophets of Baal had finished their yelling and screaming and dancing. And the only thing that they felt was the slashes that they made against their own skin. There was nothing real, nothing divine. It was all manufactured in their own minds. See, the only power that the enemy has is the power you give him. The only thing that they felt themselves. They didn't hear Baal. Baal didn't send down the fire because it wasn't real. So Elijah comes. He puts his bowl and he lays down on it. He tells the people to go soak the altar. Let me back up. You know what the first thing Elijah did? Is he rebuilt the altar of God. Because the altar of God had been broken down from that place. So Elijah went and he rebuilt the altar. He got the 12 stones, one for each tribe of Israel. Because he knew that there was power in the legacy. And if you know that there's power in the legacy, if you connect with your pastors and your leaders, and you're not just a lone ranger trying to figure things out on your own, but if you connect with the legacy and honor the legacy, that there's power in it. And so he rebuilt the altar because he knew that there had to be a place where he could worship the Lord. That the power didn't come from himself, but the power came from the presence of God. If he wanted something real to happen, then he needed to connect to the presence of God. He rebuilt the altar so he could worship, get in the presence. And so then he got him to soak the altar 3 times with water. Impossible for it to light. Impossible for fire to take place. Oh, but then you see him. He gives honor. He says to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and me as your servant, according to your word. Then all of a sudden, fire came down from heaven. And the Bible says that the whole altar was consumed. The bull was consumed. The water was even consumed in the fire. Because when you have the presence of God, there's something real. Do you want to know what's going to turn this generation away from all the wickedness? It's going to be a generation that's real. Introducing them to a God that's real. All over this place, just stand to your feet. If you came here tonight and you feel like, man, I've been in that drought. I've been lost. I've been trying to find my calling and my purpose. I've been looking for something more. I know I'm there in my city, and I know that God has a plan for my life. I want you to take an evaluation right now. What are those things? As you're standing in line at the terminal of your destiny, what are those things that you can't fly with? Maybe you need to delete some people off of Facebook. Maybe you need to erase some numbers out of your phone. Maybe you got to tell some friends that you don't want to hang out with them anymore. Maybe it's time for you to get serious for God. Whatever it is, God has so much more for you. So much more. Don't settle for the fake feeling that you get when you hurt yourself. Don't settle for the fake feeling that you get when you bring your future to the altars and hand it over for popularity, to get recognized. Don't bring your purity and offer it up on social media just to see how many likes you can get, to see how many guys will direct message you. That's not where it's at. That's not what love is. That's not what God has for you. But God has so much more. If you're here tonight and God spoke to you, and you said, I'm ready. I'm ready to step into my destiny. I'm ready to step into my calling. I'm ready to be that real Christian that this world desperately needs. I'm ready to be that real friend to my friends at school. I'm ready to be that real brother or sister to my siblings. I'm ready to be that real son or daughter or mother or dad. I'm ready to be that real person that this world is desperate for, to show them a real God. Tonight, if that's you, I want to invite you to step out of your seats. I want you to meet me at this altar. And we are going to get in the presence of God.
And I will go.
Come on, God's anointed now generation. God has a plan for your life.
And I will reach the world.